ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Another jam-packed celebrity hotline. The best columnist in the world. Frank Rich from the New York Times on his fabulous new article on the economy. Awaken, sing. Representative Jared Polis. Am I saying that right?
I think it's police.
Police.
Yes.
He's the first openly...
What, Sting is going to be here? What?
No, not
okay.
The police.
You just work on your little skits over there. He is the first openly gay man to be elected to Congress. He will talk about the gay killings going on in Baghdad over in Iraq. And
right.
Then
elected to Congress as a freshman. Other people have been elected to Congress.
And then came out.
But he's the first openly gay man to be elected as a freshman.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Mark Elias, Al Franken's lead attorney. Senator Al Franken's lead attorney on the Celebrity Hotline.
I think Hannity... Last night.
He's given up the ghost.
He resigned himself to the fact. Yes.
I love when Sean's all dejected.
Yeah, we'll be playing that a little bit later on.
I mean, not as apoplectic as Bill O'Reilly, whose head will explode when this is finally all over, but we will find out.
I am proud to stand before you as the next senator from Minnesota.
Thing sucks!
And then a he. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. By the way,
what?
I buried the lead. It's teabagging day, everybody. Happy teabagging day. It's...
Get ready to tea party.
D.C. Teabag the White House. Teabag the fools in D.C.
Read my teabagging lips.
The soonest thing ain't my teabag, baby.
Well, there is a lot of love in teabagging. You have to say that.
Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity. Both are looking forward to an up-close and personal taste of teabagging themselves.
Teabag.
My plastic surgeon doesn't want me doing any activity where balls fly at my nose.
Teabagging might just blow up in Fox's face.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. That's never happened to me before. It's just, you're so attractive, and it's been a while.
Teabag.
Thank you, Shana. All right, we will also talk about the president's speech on the economy yesterday. He said that things are looking up, but we're not out of the woods yet. Things are not good yet. So that's why we must do a fun stack about someone that had a worse day than you did.
Yay!
From the Don't You Hate When This Happens stack. You know, Jim, you may have lost your house, your health care, the economy still sucks. However, you didn't have a tree growing in your lung.
What? A tree?
Might I have some Russian music? It's a Russian story. Russian doctors find tree growing in man's lung.
How does a tree
funny
take
you should ask.
Grow in Brooklyn?
Surgeons in Russia's region were staggered to find a 5-centimeter high spruce growing inside a man's lung.
Not just any tree.
A spruce.
Huh.
The discovery was made while Antonyum Sidyorkin from the city of Izyok was undergoing surgery. He had complained of extreme pain in his chest and had been coughing up blood. Doctors suspected cancer. I blinked 3 times and thought I was seeing things, said the surgeon Vladimir Kazmyshev.
He blinked 3 times. Not 2, not 4. 3.
Uh-huh. Medical staff believe Sidyorkin had somehow inhaled a seed, which later sprouted inside his lung.
Don't.
And then the surgeon...
Why, my sweet little tot, the fake Santa Claus lied. There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side.
Because it's
so
your
I'm
lung.
Taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it up there, then I'll bring it back here.
I have seen worse. There's a woman in Serbia had pine cone.
Not since the story of the woman that got a pine cone stuck in her vajayjay have we heard such a...
Trees need several things to grow.
Light,
needs a seed.
You would think.
It
yes.
needs a seed, which he has.
Moisture,
it
right.
It needs moisture,
check.
Which he has. But it also needs sunlight. How...
I don't know.
Guess he liked staring up at the sky with his mouth wide open.
Something is a little suspect about this story.
All right.
I sucked seeds into my lungs once. Oh.
So that should be your answer today.
Weed.
How are things, right? Will? I lost my job. I have no health insurance. I'm about to lose my house. However,
but there's no tree growing in my lungs.
There's no tree in my lungs. The new bar. All right, kids, let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Today's Broken, our top story. Oh, I love the headline. Republicans scramble to show they have ideas. House Republican Whip Eric Cantor, he of the biggest Adam's apple in the Republican Party, except for Ann Coulter. The man that Democrats...
And quite possibly Ken Melman.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I would like to have an Adam's apple off, if that such a contest could be arranged. The man Democrats dubbed Dr. No is taking great pains these days to prove he has a raft of ideas of his own. The House number 2 Republican is unveiling a solution center on the web.
Oh, that'll help.
Mm-hmm. To address simple questions Americans are asking themselves in the face of economic calamity.
Are you out of your freaking mind? Or
how about coming up with actual solutions?
Why are you such a tool?
Yeah.
How will I keep my job? How will I keep my house? How will I grow my savings? The goal is to answer questions with Republican proposals that contrast starkly with legislation offered by President Obama and his congressional allies. Hmm. The message has not been yet delivered, said Cantor, but we'll continue to work at that. Good idea. Good job. Go ahead. Get it, Skippy. Get it. We have the rest of this.
It's typical arrogant Democrat Party elitist antics to attempt to call us Republicans the party of no. They claim we have no ideas. You want ideas? I'll give you ideas, you taxing and spending, gun-grabbing, abortioning, flag-burning, gay marriage and French-kissing, anti-American fascio-communist-socialisticals. I got your ideas right here. You ready to have your world rocked with the daring, innovative, creative, out-of-the-box mental problem-solving we Republicans are capable of? You strapped in? Buckled up? Okay, then. Here goes. Our big new idea is... Wait for it... Tax cuts! Hey, like them apples, Barack and Rahm and Joe, and not just any tax cuts either. We're going to cut taxes on the rich people. Something that's never been done before, ever, 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 and we thought it up and you didn't, neener, neener, neener. And that's just the beginning, you multicultural, atheistic, North Korea appeasing, pirate coddling, illegal immigrant, amnestying, military crippling, Christianity destroying taxers. Oh, and spenders. Forgot that. You just wait till we come up with our crime-fighting program. It's taking shape now, so I won't give the secret away. Let's just say it involves stools and ponds and who can float and who can't. And there's plenty more where that came from. 16 centuries worth, in fact. Just you wait. If Obama weighs more than a duck, then logically he's made of wood, and therefore he's a witch. Which rhymes with tax cuts for the rich. Who can argue with that logic? Nobody, that's who. Somebody teabag me.
I don't think he knows what that means.
No, I don't think so.
We're pirate coddlers now, and we coddle with one bullet to the head each.
That's right.
And finally, oh, gad, former House Speaker Danny Hastert.
Oh, gad.
Beefy McBratwurst, our favorite Republican from Illinois, and others at his firm are working on a $35,000 per month contract for turkey. I won't make another meat joke there, Jim, just so that I don't step on your thing. Here he is.
Oh, God. Once I left office, where I had to do it for a living, I thought I would never have to compromise my principles again. But here I am, seduced by a gigantic payday every month to go to bed for one of the biggest frauds in the face of the planet. That's right. It's my everlasting shame I'm going to spend my time selling turkey. That's right. Turkey. About the farthest thing from real meat there is. Oh, sure, they make bacon out of turkey, and they make sausage out of turkey. Yeah, right. What kind of bacon or sausage has the triglyceride count of Swiss chard, I ask you? What self-respecting cured meat eater would eat something that actually lowers his cholesterol? It's a crime against nature, and I'm sick at heart that I'll never be able to show my face in Riemann Schneider's house of meat again. Oh, sure, there's Thanksgiving, but can you buy a roast turkey at a ball game, I ask you? Can you dig a drumstick out of a pot of hot, dirty water, slant some mustard and sauerkraut on it, and power it down with two glorious, greasy, skin-snapping bites? You cannot. So I bid goodbye to my old friends, the tube steaks, and all their glorious tastiness. And what's that? Turkey's a country. And it has its own spicy sausage they call sujuk. with beef and cumin and garlic and sumac.
Ooh.
And they have döner kebabs. Oh, yeah, turkey, here I come. Döner kebabs, tarmac sucuk. Oh, it's good. I even like the yogurt. Oh, 300 pounds, here I come again. Oh, yeah, oh, that's good stuff.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward Balderall.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, which you can access via the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. There's a Kyle ad.
Yes.
I'm told.
Jim, yes.
He only said yes to turkey when he found out turkey had sausage.
Yes.
Jim in Minneapolis with a dandy idea for Senator Al Franken. Hello, Jim.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
First, I want to let you know that it took you less than 30 seconds to put me off my morning cup of tea.
Oh, well.
What did I do now? Oh, I see, the teabagging montage.
Yes, it's been going on all, well, you know. But more to the point. A suggestion for Al, now
yes.
that it's all over. When he takes the oath of office, he needs to put his right hand on a copy of Rush Limbaugh as a Big Fat Idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love there
that.
There you
idea.
Go.
I love that idea. That's funny.
That's funny.
That's funny. Okay. Oh, goodness. Something else to make Bill O'Reilly's head explode. Obama rides high in the polls. A new Gallup poll shows 71%. That's over 70%, Jim. Of Americans have a great deal or a fair amount of confidence in Obama's ability to do the right thing for the economy. 3 months into his presidency, he stands out as perhaps the most trusted figure in American politics, according to a new political survey. He's the explainer-in-chief. We were saying that yesterday during the press conference.
Yeah.
Why is Obama such a failure?
He really has a way of communicating what's going on in the economy so you can understand it and what he's doing to fix it. And it does. It gives you hope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to work.
Hope.
I'm still a hope monger. He warned Americans eager for good news that by no means are we out of the woods, but argued that his domestic agenda is on the path to recovery. The president yesterday at the...
From where we stand, for the very first time, we're beginning to see glimmers of hope. And beyond that, way off in the distance, we can see a vision of an America's future that is far different than our troubled economic past.
President Hoover. All right. And we will be talking to Frank Rich, the best columnist in the world, about the economy and the president's speech yesterday and much more. We will get into the finer points of what he said as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is wild. I never heard anything like this in my life.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joe in Spokane on our Republican
good
friends.
Morning,
hello,
guys
Joe.
And gal.
Hello.
Hey, what do conservatives conserve? As far as I can see, they don't want any environmental restrictions on business, so they're not into conserving the environment.
Mm-mm.
They don't want fuel economy standard increased on cars so they can drive the biggest earth destroying pigmobile possible, so they don't want to conserve fuel. And then as for George Bush and Dick Cheney, they didn't want them held accountable for lying or spying, so they're not into conserving the rule of law.
No.
And then marriage. Look at Newt Gingrich on his third one, not into conserving the family values. What do they conserve?
You worked a lot on this, didn't you, Joe?
I mean, no, but really, I talk with friends about this, and we try to figure, what's it mean to be a conservative?
That's what they're struggling to decide. Yeah. What does it mean to be a conservative anymore? I have no idea.
According to Eric Cantor, being conservative means putting up a new website.
Yeah. Aha. They've just discovered the internet. The president devoted a significant portion of the speech yesterday to defending actions he has taken in the face of criticism he has heard mainly from Republicans that he has been, quote, spending with reckless abandon, pushing a liberal social agenda while mortgaging our children's future. You've heard that several times,
mm-hmm.
with generational theft and
whatever,
that the party that left us a $1.3 trillion deficit has a lot to say about now. Not so, Obama said yesterday. The last thing government should do in the middle of a recession is to cut back on spending.
Exactly.
I'm going to guess our friend Frank Rich will agree with that in a couple of minutes. As for the long-term, increasingly dire federal budget deficit picture, he said investments in new industries and economic foundations is crucial to future success and even to reducing the deficit, which I was glad he explained that.
Because
you do, you hear the talking points over and over. He said... chronically slow growth will not help our long-term budget situation. He also defended the TARP program, which he acknowledged is unpopular because people have bailout fatigue. But by the way, little fun fact, he also mentioned that was enacted under the Bush administration, the
TARP program.
And the oversight of that started in the...
Why weren't the teabaggers protesting that?
Oh, by the way, breaking news, Jim. There's teabagging trouble already in Washington. There's been a teabag incident.
Yes, teabaggers were planning on dumping a whole bunch of teabags into Lafayette Park across the street from the White House. It turns out that's illegal. So arrests are being made.
You know, the original teabags were in water, but okay.
Well.
Whatever.
Also, in the original Tea Party, there were no such things as tea bags.
No.
Tea bags didn't exist.
It was crates of
It was crates of raw tea.
Yes.
Anyway, here was his other explanation.
But that wouldn't be nearly as funny.
No.
Inadvertently funny.
He said the letter he gets the most is people saying, where's my bailout, which he said he understands,
mm-hmm.
you know, emotionally and whatever. But he said sending money directly to taxpayers might be more palatable, but it wouldn't be effective. He said the truth is that a dollar of capital in a bank can actually result in $8 or $10 of loans to families and businesses, a multiplier effect that can ultimately lead to a faster pace of economic growth.
What a communist.
That's exactly. I enjoyed that socialist explanation is what my point is. The president.
A foundation that will move us from an era of borrow and spend. To one where we save and invest.
Okay. Makes sense.
Mm. What? Mm. Sounds like he's talking about conserving.
Oh, my God.
Okay, then he talked about the...
If we don't lay this new foundation now, it won't be long before we're right back where we are today.
And Frank Richard addresses that a lot in his column. You know, Bill Maher said it not too long ago, too. We need to start making stuff again. Financial products that you slice and dice are not stuff. They're,
right.
Yeah, exactly. The president.
Just as a cash-strapped family may cut back on all kinds of luxuries, but will still insist on spending money to get their children through college, they're thinking about the long term, so we as a country have to make current choices with an eye to the future.
Aha. All right. And then he talked about the actions his administration has taken.
And taken together, these actions are starting to generate signs of economic progress.
He said we've responded to an extraordinary set of economic challenges with extraordinary action that has been unprecedented in both its scale and its speed. Telling the audience he wants to be honest about the pitfalls that lie ahead, he also warned that past problems were brought on by the need for instant gratification, and the solution must come through steady growth backed by a solid economic foundation.
2009 will continue to be a difficult year for America's economy, and obviously most difficult for those who've lost their jobs. The severity of this recession will cause more job loss, more foreclosures, and more pain before it ends.
Oh, he said, by no means are we out of the woods yet, but we will find out. We will find out at what point we are in the woods from Frank Rich, who
Frank Rich is awesome.
He's beyond awesome.
Yes.
He wrote another humdinger in the New York Times about the economy called Awake and Sing. We will talk to him about that and much more as we continue. 28 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You can't hide from the IRS. They're everywhere.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. Oh, Chris, who do I spend every Sunday morning in bed with?
Frank Rich.
That's right. Oh, God.
And Max. And I'm sure that he'd be a little surprised.
Oh, yeah. The Sunday column this week, Awake and Sing about the economy.
Ooh. Oh, God.
I tell him every Sunday it was the best ever. If only some... What? Oh, who is it, Chris? I'm sorry.
New York Times columnist Frank Rich.
Oh, I hope Mrs. Rich isn't listening. Good morning, Frank Rich.
Good morning. I love this long-distance romance.
You don't get that kind of intro from Rachel Maddow, do you, my friend?
How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So let's get your take right off the top on the president's speech yesterday.
Well, it seems to be a holding action. You know, they're trying to walk this fine line between noticing a few little improvements, and of course the improvements in the economy are basically just that it's not collapsing at the same frantic rate, but it's still
yes.
bad, and it's really bad on things like unemployment. And so trying to have a little bit of sort of, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, mm-hmm. and then with a little fear thrown in.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most interesting revelation that accompanied it was that the notion that they may actually now make transparent some of, we're not clear how much of, these bank stress tests. One thing that bothers me about the Obama economic policy machine is it just hasn't been transparent. TARP was not transparent under Bush,
mm-hmm.
and still what's going on seems to be somewhat shrouded in mystery. And I think Americans who are suspicious that hedge funds on Wall Street are going to walk away with this with a sweetheart deal, and that they're being, you know, sort of coddled at the expense of regular Americans, it's a very big deal, as we all know, and I think that they have to really put this information out there.
Well, I mean, you mentioned that in your column about that, you know, maybe you become numb to the perennial and bipartisan revolving door incestuousness of Washington and Wall Street. You know, you talk about Lawrence Summers a lot
Right.
In your column. You know, you're right. What is the solution? Because I think average Americans have that fear, that it's always the same, no matter who's in charge.
Well, and we don't know if there is a solution, which is really scary, but certainly the first step is to make everything public. You know, we have this this deal, this new bank deal, which seems to be stating that these banks and investors in these toxic assets do not have to take much of a risk, and all the risk is on the taxpayer. If that's true or even partially true, we've got to see how it operates so we can see the logic of why this would be for the good of all of us. If we can't see that logic, then it's just going to, you know, feed more populist anger and make people feel mm-hmm. they're being ripped off at the expense of Wall Street.
Well, Frank, I think, you know, it was interesting, though, the analogy you made that, you know, it's collapsing at a slower rate. I mean,
right.
It's like, you know, your house is burning. It's burning a little less now, but it's still burning, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, we were saying that there, you know, I don't even know how to say it, feelings do have something to do with the economy, optimism, right? And this president does seem to make Americans optimistic. I think I just read a poll like 71% of Americans are optimistic that what he's doing is fixing the economy. And doesn't that lead to some actual gains?
I think it does, and I think it's an incredible asset of his that he does inspire confidence, and people do feel, rightly, I think, that we have an intelligent, capable guy with no agenda of his own leading this rescue effort. But if you look in the polls deeply, for instance, the CBS New York Times poll last week, which showed these high ratings for Obama, you find, of course, terrible ratings for Republicans, but you also find even as much despised as Republicans, or more so, are big banks. And so this is the gnawing thing that he has to deal with. And I thought yesterday, particularly with the stress test revelation, maybe he is starting to deal with it. I wish he'd be a little a step ahead of that. You know, mm-hmm. they were behind on the AIG bonus thing. But, yeah,
right.
It's great that we have a guy who people like seeing, believe is on their side, is smart,
well,
and
he
has the values we right. want. He has the values that are not Wall Street values.
Well, yeah, and you talk about that in the column. We'll get to that. But I thought, you know, you're right. Part of it is that on many issues, it's a new way of thinking. You know, I mean, like you say, the Republicans, it seems like it's the same idea, just tax cuts for the rich, which theoretically you should like since you are actually named rich. So you get that.
yes. I'd gladly give up the name for the reality. The Republicans have no ideas. This is another big plus for Obama. I mean, they have this, what, today they're having these sort of wimpy, what, tax, tea party, taxpayers.
Yes, teabagging.
Tea it's like seven people led by two bloggers, you know.
Right.
In a cold
brought to you by Fox. Brought to you by Fox News.
Brought to you by Fox News.
It's an internet grassroots phenomenon. Brought to you by Fox News.
Exactly. And so they're completely out in the wilderness, and this gives Obama even more of an opportunity. We have to hope he seizes it, and in some ways he is.
Well, let's talk about it, because I thought the theme of your column was really so important. You talk about, you know, how we got here, and that it's because we don't make anything. You said, you know, there's no thing that is being made unless you count the slicing and dicing of debt into financial products. You know, this is obviously what helped bring down the economy, lose jobs and all that. So your point is Obama kind of embodies that. He's someone that turned down the lucrative career path to do, you know.
Absolutely. You know, you've seen in elite schools, including Ivy League schools such as the one that Harvard that Obama's a product of in part, over the past decade, this drive to be in, you know, consulting and investment banking, in hedge funds, and these institutions, these financial institutions, have been very clever at recruiting the smartest, the cream of the cream of American college graduates, but those are the very people who might have been building great businesses. Or not only could they have been teachers and been in the service or anything else, they could have actually been building an economy that was about making something. And
mm-hmm.
an important distinction that guy I know who's involved with Silicon Valley made to me about the bubble of the previous decade, the dot-com bubble, even if, you know, some of the dot-com stuff was nonsense, the general drive was first to have a product. Invent Yahoo, invent Google, invent a widget, whatever, invent a software program, and then cash in on it. What we had with the slicing and dicing of debt into these financial derivatives was just gambling under another name.
Yeah, it was Vegas, baby, Vegas.
It was Vegas, and this became so prized that if you look even at a company like General Motors, one reason why people think Rick Wagoner failed is he didn't come out of the car business. Traditionally, top executives at GM had been people who'd come up through the ranks of actually making and selling cars. He was a financial guy.
Mm. Yep.
And so that's become our values, and Obama's the antithesis of that and can be a great
leader. And that's exactly it. Focus on product. If you make better cars, you wouldn't be in, you know, this financial situation. But, you know, you raise the best question. What, if anything, have we learned from this? Because that's how we get out of it, right? You say it wasn't just trillions of dollars of wealth that went poof. Certain American values crumbled and vanished, making quick killings by reckless gambling in the markets rather than by investing long-term in products, innovations, technologies that might grow and benefit America and the world became the holy grail in the upper echelons of finance. So, you know, you make a good point that Obama, you said no one's better placed philosophically or suited than Obama to construct this new counter-narrative as we go forward.
We have to hope that he does it, and we have to remember, of course, that he hasn't even been in 100 days yet, so he has some time to get going and take a more forceful lead. But you have to worry. Right now, of course, these jobs, these iBanking jobs, basically don't exist. So a lot of these bright kids who might have gone into it are going to do worthy things, like Teach for America for mm-hmm. a couple of years. But will that last, or is everyone just assuming we'll go back to our version of the 1920s and the boom and bathtub gin and all the rest of it? And mm-hmm. that's what we don't know, and that's mm-hmm. where we're really lucky to have this president at this moment who can show a better way.
Right. Well, that's what you're saying. We need a counter-narrative to replace money as king, and you cite a speech that he gave where he said the big house and the nice suits and all the other things that our money culture says you should buy amount to a poverty of ambition. That, you know, if it's just about money, we're going to end up in the same place.
Exactly. And that's a speech he gave 5 months before Election Day. He gave it at commencement at Wesleyan University a year ago. And we have to hope, and I think I have optimism that he will, that he'll pick up this theme as we get into the recovery here, and he can sort of ratchet things up a bit. And he's a very, you know, one thing about Obama that we've learned is he does move with deliberate speed, not crazy speed, and he may well get there.
Yes, I miss the erraticness that John McCain would have brought to the
crisis. Yes, he would have just shut down the stress test and, you know, going into I really do think that the most important moment of the campaign was when he went into Washington to fix the economy and mm-hmm. suspend his campaign and just made a fool of himself. And that's when people realized they needed someone who was steady at the tiller.
Yeah, I think so.
not Captain Queeg, you know.
Yeah.
Frank Rich, I appreciate you suffering through another acid flashback of me reading your entire Sunday column back to you and pretending that it's an interview.
Very well, I'm very flattered.
Well, I listen, in order to appear as smart as you, I have to just quote you to you, or I'm in over my head.
You're very nice.
Frank Rich, the best columnist in the world from the New York Times. Thanks, Frank.
Great talking to you.
My love to Mrs. Rich, but in a really insincere way.
I'll give it to her right now.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Hello. Okay, there he goes.
That sounded highly inappropriate.
Wow. He's going to go give some loving to Mrs. Rich now. Wow, that was
some
breaking news.
But he'll be thinking of you, which is, wow.
He's going to show her his financial instrument. All right.
From which, presumably, she'll derive some, never mind.
No,
stop
right.
It.
Okay, Jim.
Stop it, both of you.
43 minutes after the hour.
Yeah, derivative.
Yeah. All right. More on the president and the economy and the Flavin as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Ooh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Don and my right wing love muffin in Rockford, Illinois. Hello, Don.
Hi. I was just commenting about if conservatives are no longer conservatives, how are liberals and progressives liberal and progressive? Since basically it looks like you guys want a king. I won't go as far as a messiah. Mm. And you want to dictate the way everybody
how do we want a king?
Has to live. Well, I mean, it looks to me like you guys want Obama to rule us.
No.
I'm not surprised you're not repealing the term limits for the president already, but it is.
That's George what Republicans Bush wanted to do under Reagan.
Yeah,
that's
George
right.
Bush is the one that said he wanted to be the dictator. How does Obama have any more power than Bush did?
I'm just saying the way liberal and progressive, I'm not talking about Obama, I'm not all that you know, displeased with what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying that the word conservative, I agree, certainly doesn't look like they're living up to that.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
And liberals and progressives look like they truly want a Mussolini-style government.
Well, things are getting progressively better under Obama than they were under Bush, in my opinion. How about that?
I would say just the opposite when it comes to freedoms. I want to
freedoms? Talk. George Bush was the one that took away all our
freedoms.
Civil liberties.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I could own an expedition under George Bush. I don't own.
You can own an expedition now. Hey, what the?
Hell, Obama just outlawed that yesterday. Oh, you can own whatever you want.
I missed that news.
I'm saying the way it looks from liberals and that conservatives, they don't look like conservatives. Liberals and progressives don't look like liberal and progressives.
Okay, how can you not own an expedition under Barack Obama? He's encouraging you to buy American cars.
A 16-mile-an-hour gas guzzling pig, yada, yada, yada.
Sure,
mobile.
You can buy one.
No one's stopping you.
Seriously, Don, how are liberals dictating how you live?
I'm telling you right now, we have to buy trash cans that are green. We have to drink water in containers that
are
green.
No, you don't. The city gives you the containers to
trash
recycle.
Containers.
I'm just saying that it doesn't look like liberals and progressives are liberal and
what's the water thing? Like go ahead. What was the water thing you said? Liberals.
You shouldn't drink water out of a plastic glass bottle or whatever, in a plastic bottle.
Yes, but that's not illegal.
It's not illegal. They're not forcing you to do anything.
Conservatives really haven't done anything to anybody either. They just say they're conservatives and then get three divorces. And then liberals say they're liberal. Yeah, you can't own firearms if you're an honest person.
You
they
can own firearms?
Dear God, Don, what? you're a human talking point. The president is not doing anything different on guns than it was under George Bush.
We still have a Second Amendment. You can own a gun.
Wait. Here in Illinois,
you can own three guns if
you
want.
In fact, get a giant gun rack on your expedition.
Yes, you're allowed to.
And a case of bottled water in the back if you feel the need.
I'm not into guns. But what I'm saying is just that when the way that liberals talk and what they look like they're doing, they're not liberal. They're oppressive.
It seems like we could magically unite in that.
Yeah.
You don't like either anybody.
No one's.
And I don't either some days, Don.
No, I like freedom. And like I said, I love
so do we.
Show.
Yes.
I love your show, but you mock people. I don't hear any real
solutions.
Nice points from you either. It's just mocking and cackling. I'm just saying that.
I thought I just covered a lot of good points with Frank Rich on the economy.
Frank Rich, come on now. I mean, if conservatives don't look conservative, liberals don't look liberal.
What?
That's all I'm saying.
I think what we can unite on today is the magical love of me that you and I share. And I guess that's all we'll agree on. Thanks for calling, Don.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Yeah, Frank Rich. Enough said.
Okay.
No.
Uh-huh.
What the hell do you mean by that?
That was pounded into his head.
Liberals don't look like liberals and conservatives don't look like
conservatives. Okay, I hate everybody some days, too.
That's the thesis of my paper. So I will repeat it and fill in words in the middle to pad it.
Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson. Hello, Lavender.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning,
Mooks.
Good morning.
Because I am here to help, I thought we could make things a little easier for Don the right-wing love muffin by renaming liberals sane and conservatives insane. That might make it easier for him to figure it out.
That doesn't seem very inclusive, Lavender.
Well, no, because we always want to care for those who have mental illness. It's the kind thing to do. It's progressive.
It is progressive.
Like Paul Krugman just wrote last weekend, you shouldn't make fun of crazy people. That's why we shouldn't say bad things about Republicans right now. Dave in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on My Right-Wing Love Muffin. Hello, Dave.
Yes, the powers that Obama has are extremely mighty, and they piled more on top of it. That was all passed on through the Patriot Act, and all that stuff was thought up by the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and actually that's a good point. We got to get into that Patriot Act at some point.
Yeah.
When the economic house stops burning.
Yeah.
Okay, the president yesterday on the recession.
It was caused by a perfect storm of irresponsibility and poor decision-making that stretched from Wall Street to Washington to Main Street.
Thank you. And then he talked about cutting government spending at a time like this.
The worst thing that we could do in a recession this severe is to try to cut government spending at the same time as families and businesses around the world are cutting back on their spending.
Yeah, I thought he explained it well, why the Republican ideas just don't make sense. You know, you're in a ditch. You don't just keep doing the same thing.
Right.
You got to do something different.
To begin with, economists on both the left and the right agree that the last thing a government should do in the middle of a recession is to cut back on spending. If every family in America, if every business in America cuts back all at once, then no one is spending any money. Which means there are no customers, which means there are more layoffs, which means that the economy gets even worse. That's why the government has to step in and temporarily boost spending in order to stimulate demand. That's exactly what we're doing right now.
Yeah, if Don cuts back, then he can't afford to buy his expedition to drive to the gun store with his cases of
water.
Plastic water in the back.
Or his Hummer.
Okay.
But liberals are going to take it away from me, so they're not being liberal, just like conservatives aren't being conservative.
Liberals haven't outlawed Hummers.
No.
Or expeditions, last I checked. Okay.
We have to realize that we cannot go back to the bubble and bust economy that led us to this point.
You can have your Hummers and your teabagging. I mean, it's no one's stopping you.
Oh, Jim.
Jim.
Jim Louise Ward. Okay. Hey, this is what Frank Rich is talking about. Doing stuff, building stuff.
Pretty soon we'll see more companies constructing solar panels and workers building wind turbines and car companies manufacturing fuel-efficient cars.
Yeah! Fuel-efficient cars. They're going to force me to buy a fuel-efficient car, and I won't be able to...
I think progressives are being very progressive because it's, progressive people want new and better
new
ideas.
Technology.
And I think progressives are being very progressive right now.
In every conceivable way.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay over there?
Yeah, I'm finding I had to go in the trash because I can I have my Fine American music, please? I had to, because this is the part of the Frank Rich, it's the only part I haven't read yet on the air.
All right.
Let's see. Well, there was a poignant quality to the City Report. It tone somehow reminded me of the stirring speech written by the American playwright Clifford Odets. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
And his classic drama of the Great Depression, Awake and Sing. See, that was the title of the column.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Boy, chick, wake up, the grandfather Jacob tells his grandson Ralph as he battered burger family disintegrates in the Bronx. Be something. Make your life something good. Go out and fight so life shouldn't be printed on dollar bills. We got to be something and do something.
And make something.
Other than financial products or whatever.
Yeah, make stuff things. That actually works, that does stuff for people.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm sick of seeing made in China on everything I buy.
You know, at least, I'm not saying I wouldn't like to make a lot more money. My point is, at least I make fart jokes and stuff and something.
Whatever.
You don't make a damn thing.
I do. I make little jokes. All right.
Yeah, you can't hold them in your hand, though.
Think of them as comedy widgets.
Okay.
All right. 57 minutes after the hour, back with Tinsel Talk and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Jared Polise, Democrat of the great state of Colorado.
Yes.
The first openly gay congressman to be elected as a freshman. Not that police.
Not the police.
No. He will be talking about the gay killings in Iraq and what's
awful
being done about that.
Yeah.
Mark Elias, future Senator Al Franken's, actually, I think he's presently pretty much Senator Al Franken's lead attorney, to tell us what's up with that. And former Senator Norm Coleman. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Happy teabagging day, everybody. Brought to you by Fox News.
Teabag your neighbor. Teabag your boss. Teabag your teacher. Teabag your mom. What? I'm just talking about protesting.
It is, yes. As you know, it is a it's a internet grassroots phenomenon brought to you by Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
And as we all know, you need a dick army to do a lot of teabagging.
Sure. Mm.
Dick army on
President Obama, who to my knowledge has never seriously studied the subject of economics and has never said anything that I have heard that would lead me to suspect that he might have had any serious study of the discipline, has just plain got it wrong.
I haven't heard of it. I would lead me to believe that you're sober.
He was drunk, wasn't he?
I don't know that for a fact. We don't know that for a fact.
Dick is one of the people behind the teabagging today.
Yes, and he's going to be appearing with Hannity at the Atlanta Tea Party.
Teabagging force is an army of dick.
Uh-huh.
It's creation.
Uh-huh. All right. Oh, I'm going to be so sad when today's over. All right. Can I have my unsolicited testimonial music? This is another pirate story, Jim.
Arr.
Karen in Schaumburg, home of the Smelly Library, writes, hi, Steph. I don't know if you caught ABC World News tonight on Tuesday. You can check their story on the pirates. They were talking about measures being taken to prevent the pirates from taking the ships, and they mentioned that some ships are greasing the ships.
Hey.
I recall someone on the Stephanie Miller Show tossing that out as a solution. Why, yes, it was you.
Wow.
Yes, it was.
Stephanie Miller.
Didn't I say that yesterday? I'm a woman
grease
a good
ship.
5 to 10 years ahead of my time. I'm like, why don't we just make them slipperier?
You didn't say grease the ships. You said lube the ships.
I suggested sending a flotilla from West Hollywood with some lube. With some joy jelly, some motion lotion, something, and just level up those ships. How are you going to get? How can you grapple up there when they're too slippery? Vaseline them up. Just saying. ABC World News tonight.
Stephanie Miller.
Who can tell in the journalistic organizations these days? Okay. Thank you, Karen. Another edition of Mama Was Right.
Wow.
What can you do about that? Okay, let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids?
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
From what I read, greasing up ships was how you defended yourself against pirates back in the pirate days.
Arr.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So
I just pulled that right out of my ass yesterday, and as it turned out,
so to speak.
Maybe you saw it in a movie.
That's how the pirates get on the ships. They grapple up the thing. You know, I don't know what the hell they use. Crampons.
Whatever.
Crampons?
Or scrapple. Something. They use something. They use scrapple.
They don't use scrapple.
Scrapple.
Pig innards? Fried pig innards?
No, that's not scrapple.
Yeah,
is it?
It is. It's like,
what's that snack food I'm thinking of? All right, I'll get back to it. Anyway, Madonna's ex-nanny has spoken out.
Scrapple?
Her,
Scrapple. Why don't I eat Scrapple?
Her former nanny has spoken out about her life.
Chicken drunk Lincoln.
With the superstar, after private comments on her Facebook.com page were exposed to the world, Angela Jacobson quit her job caring for Madonna's stolen child. The son that she adopted.
Mm.
She wrote, not putting up with this anymore. She insisted the Facebook comments were not about Madonna.
No.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
She added about her life with Madonna. I was on call 24 hours a day. There wasn't any television in the house, and we all had the same diet, a macrobiotic diet, and we all ate kosher because of the
kosher
Kabbalah.
Kosher and macrobiotic.
She did an interview with a TV show, I believe.
Good evening, and welcome to Today Tonight. I'm Matthew White. We're here with Angela Jacobson, Madonna's one-time nanny, who's recently left the singer's employ. Angela, your entries on your Facebook page would lead one to think you got sacked due to disagreements over the care of Madonna's Malawian pet, adoptive son. Is that true?
No, Matthew. Nothing could be further from the truth. Madonna is a devoted mother, and the family's very happy.
So no truth to the rumours that you were required to polish the little boy on a daily basis? That there was a specially fitted case for him when he wasn't being put in public view?
Certainly not. How rude!
Nor was the boy originally paired with an adopted Scandinavian boy in a salt and pepper motif. And then it was decided it clashed for the house decor. That the recent attempt to adopt another Malawian child was to provide bookends for the buffet in the dining room.
The very idea is totally disgusting. I'm completely outraged you to insinuate... excuse me. I have to take this. Can you kill my mic?
What?
She what? Listen, you tell that gristly Sheila I better get a text message with a Swiss account number in the next 5 minutes, or I'm going public with a housebreaking regimen. Got that? 5 minutes! Where were we? Oh, yes, motherhood. I can assure you, Madonna is a real mother, Matthew, and no mistake. Can we talk about something else for the next five minutes?
Oh, yes, Angela, I do believe we can. Let's talk about teabagging. Or not.
While you're on the phone, could you call me an ambulance? Cheers.
Madonna is grisly.
She
okay.
is.
And finally, Danny DeVito has admitted a fondness for English women. He says he finds them really racy and very nice.
Does his wife have something to say about this?
He said knock a few back and the
is
rest
still,
of it is history.
Oh, dear.
Danny added he was still friends with his twins co-star Arnold Schwarzenegger. He said, we're friends. I think he's doing a pretty good job. I mean, you know, he's a Republican, so there's only so much you can do. He said the thing about Republicans is they've got a little handicap of there's like an inch and a half blockage in their brain somewhere, and things don't penetrate. But they're still friends. We have Danny, I believe.
I love English women. They're very racy. They're, how should I put this? Fast. Easy. In a word, slutty. Not only do they not put up a fight, once you get a drink in them, look out, they get your hands in your pants. And I thought Mary Lou Hanna was hard to trot. Normally a little guy like me has to beg a bit, but more than a bit. I have to grovel and roll over like a dog in hopes of getting my belly rubbed. Not in England. Just look at them the right way, and Bob's your uncle, you're meeting two veg around the menu.
Oh, Danny boy, your pipes are calling.
Gotta go. Can't keep a majesty waiting. Come in, your highness. All ready? Save some for us, peasants. I love this broad. Wish me luck. I'm going in.
Oh, sweet mystery of life, at last I found you. We are powerfully amused, you betcha.
Oh, dear. The queen makes an appearance.
Dear.
Oh, dear. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more of that Jim Ward. Whatever.
Claptrap. Ward's apocryphal, but true, for which there's a tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. Go on in there and buy the album. I got you.
Jim Carrey is gaining 50 pounds to play Curly in the Stooges film. According to his girlfriend, Jenny McCarthy.
They probably need to gain about 80 pounds.
Yeah.
She was asked, does it ever get to be too much having to hear him walk around the house doing Curly impersonations all day? She said, you have to be very much in love with him to tolerate that. that might wear on you after a skosh.
Yeah.
I wonder how many times she has to put her hand up to her nose when you do the eye poke.
Well, I ought to.
If I had a rock, I'd... All right. You know, Chris, Mama's not into the tweeting or the tweeting or the...
No, Stephanie.
Whatever.
...things that the kids are doing now. That's why you tweet for me.
Yes, I tweet for you as a public service.
Mm-hmm.
Because you wouldn't do it.
No. And I didn't realize that Rebecca does my, what is it? Face thing.
My space face
my
thing.
My space face
something.
Page.
I got a something that I didn't know I had.
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one of those, too.
Yeah, there are all kinds of Jim Ward fan clubs on Facebook regarding you.
Well, who isn't a fan?
How about that?
Here's why.
I have
because
a MySpace page.
John Mayer, he's Twittering. He's big on the Twittering thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote recently, "Hey, everybody, I'm Twittering from inside my dreams.
Huh?
CC DeVille and Richard Nixon say, what's up? We just got off the 405 into Fairfield, Connecticut, going to stop at the library for sex." You don't need to share your every random...
I think that's over 140 characters, though.
Yeah.
You're only on Twitter, you're only allowed 140 characters. That's way over, I think.
I don't get it. Why must we hear every random hallucination from people? I don't understand.
Well,
it's like people constantly...
That's why they call it Twitter.
It's like people constantly telling you their dreams. Don't you hate that? It's like a five-year-old telling a joke. It's like, and then I went, and then Elvis was at the Waffle House. I don't care.
You don't have to subscribe to those people who Twitter like that.
Nobody tweet me. I don't. I'm not listening to any of y'all's.
I mostly subscribe to news Twitters. You know, like CNN, you know, MSNBC. They all have Twitters.
What,
and if something is breaking, you can see it.
What's the point of, like, the congresspeople Twittering about the president's, like, State of the Union? It's like, oh, the president's here. I know. We can see it on TV. What do I care what you think?
Claire McCaskill tweeted about what she was making for Easter dinner. I thought
Who
that
cares?
Was a little much.
That's my point.
Yeah.
It is just bringing our self-involvement to a whole new level.
Here's what I think about what you think about what I think.
Wait a minute. You're
right.
The most self-involved person I know.
I beg your pardon.
You are.
Jim, what do you think about me being self-involved?
I would think you'd be so into the Twittering.
And then, and
then,
and
then,
and
then,
and then, this guy, and then that time, and then...
My self-involvement is coupled with a tragically low self-esteem.
Okay.
It's, you know what it is? It's mixing my dog's pain medicine with box
it's
wine.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
Exactly. I agree with that Keira Knightley. She finds the internet dehumanizing. She,
Really don't like the internet, do you?
She said, I hate the internet. I find it dehumanizing to constantly check emails or social sites, which have become so fascinating. She also refuses to Google herself, so she can't get upset by criticism. Yeah, I did that once, that was enough. I did that one time. I am never Googling myself again.
Yeah.
All right. Hmm?
When you Google me, there's like an unflattering thing that's down a few...
mine's all about the unflattering things. I don't even want to know. It's like, it's the stinky internet bathroom, Googling yourself. Just do not go in there, trust me. Okay, HBO is making a movie about the 2008 presidential campaign. Salon readers have pitched who should play who. Who should play whom? Will Smith for Obama, which is good, 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 good. I think that's a good choice. Choices for Hillary Clinton, Laura Linney, Glenn Close, or Meryl Streep for Hillary Clinton. And Sarah Palin, you'd think Tina Fey would automatically get it.
You know what? Tina Fey does the exaggeration. She does the parody.
This movie's a drama, apparently.
Yeah,
it's
so I don't know that she'd be good for that.
So salon readers have picked Megan Mullally, Hilary Swank, Sandra Bullock, or Felicity Huffman for Sarah Palin.
Felicity Huffman.
I know. I don't get that one either.
Yeah. Megan Mullally might be good for that.
Sandra Bullock would be interesting, too.
Anyway, that's those are the
You betcha.
But she is a cartoon character. I mean, this is...
Yeah, I know.
Is there anyone that intrinsically dumb that could play... Oh, don't say Janine Turner. I wasn't thinking that. I'm just saying.
Janine Turner's lips are too full of collagen to play.
You
Sarah
know our
Palin
dream. You know what my dream is for 2012. You know, for the Republican ticket, Michelle Bachmann and Janine Turner, because then, Jim, it would be...
Bachmann-Turner overdrive.
That's exactly right.
But then they'd be Canadian and they couldn't run for president. So.
And then they would have two women equally as dumb as Sarah Palin, once again on the Republican ticket. Bachmann-Turner overdrive. A girl can dream. Okay, 20 minutes after the hour, Rod Blagojevich and reality television?
What? No.
Cha. Tell you all about it when we return 20 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
A place where dreams come true.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Jim, I had an omission. I'm sorry. In the HBO movie about the 2008 election, John McCain will be played by the Crypt Keeper. I forgot to cast
Death
him.
Stalks you yes. at every turn. There it is. Death. You know, at my age, the mind starts playing tricks. So, death. Oh, where were we? Death.
Will in Chicago on the president. Hello, Will.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
You know, my brother-in-law, second cousin twice removed from Rockford that you were picking on, you know, I agree with him. I think that this whole, subversive mind game you got going on there, you progressive people.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Will? Join us.
You know, you've got to eat fruits and vegetables. Look, if I want to eat fried food,
who's telling you can't? Put a clothespin on your artery. What do I care?
My kid comes back from school, and they're telling him he's got to spell words with I before E, and sometimes after C.
You're of the opinion that liberals are dictating how you live.
Stop signs. What if I want to go through the intersection?
And they're telling my kids how to eat. You know, just the other day, I'm in my Hummer dragging a pool of gasoline that's burning behind me. Uh-huh. I get pulled over and thrown in jail for that. What are you guys doing to me? Stop taking away my rights to burn gasoline.
All right. Goodbye, Will. Oh, that was a little joke.
He had you there at first,
though. Yeah, you thought he was a real creeper.
He had me at hello. Michael in Los Angeles on the HBO movie on the 2008 election. Hi, Mike.
Oh, yeah, I definitely. Hey, how's it going, guys? I definitely have a great idea, and I love her. She'd have to really, really dumb herself down to play Sarah Palin, but Janine Garofalo.
Oh, she would be awesome. Be she would be awesome. She's an awesome actress. Yeah. But, yeah, I think she has entirely too many IQ points to even. I'm not even sure even she's that good an actress.
No.
All right. Brad Blagojevich pled not guilty.
Whatever.
To federal racketeering and fraud charges. Did you see? He mostly seemed happy to be back in front of the
cameras.
Yeah, exactly. He was walking around like he was running another campaign rather than facing federal corruption charges.
I plead guilty to having a fantastic head of hair.
He is 10 kinds of crazy, this guy. He arrived at the courthouse and said he was innocent of every single accusation. Now we can begin the process of getting the truth out, and I can clear my name and vindicate myself.
Okay.
All right. Good luck with that.
Uh-huh. Best of luck to you. His lawyer said it's just not possible for one lawyer to defend Mr. Blagojevich. He said additional lawyers have been unwilling to sign on to his defense team until they find out if they will be paid.
Yeah.
What was that Jerry Maguire said? A reporter yelled, "Show me the money." Because
I think he's going to get a radio show.
Oh, well, you know what he is going to get? A reality show.
Yes, he is.
He's trying to become a... He's trying to get on the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Oh, no.
The plot includes leaving a list of a group of D-list celebrities in the middle of the jungle and let the plot unfold. The show reportedly could pay him as much as $80,000 an episode. NBC confirmed it. Rob Blagojevich will be a participant on the show pending the court's approval. The impeached governor reportedly broke and believes the show could help finance his legal defense, which that would be perfect if his defense were funded by I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. All right, 28 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the economy and the teabagging as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Be careful. A cursory olfactory analysis of
Stephanie Miller.
Sweat glands indicates that decades of alcohol ingestion have permeated her cellular structure and made her a prime candidate for spontaneous combustion.
33 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie.
Oh, it was.
Uh-oh. Looks like it's the Jim and Chris show.
Ha ha! 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll.
April Fool!
Ha ha! 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mary in Minneapolis on former Senator Norm Coleman. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I would like to join Jim in the conspiracy corner for a minute because both of us in Minnesota who see Norm Coleman on TV, he looks really stressed out. He's aged.
Well, that's what happens when you lose repeatedly.
I think he's being pressured by people higher up to keep this thing going.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Mary? There's people. That's what people are saying. Mm-hmm. That you know, if he wants to preserve any chance at his political career, he needs to bow out gracefully.
Right.
But he's getting pressure from Republicans that just want to keep the seat empty as long as possible. Yep.
And I think that Norm might even have a little bit of a conscience. I think it's starting to get to him.
Mm-hmm.
He looks real stressed out.
I think his chiclets are even starting to look less white.
They are. Mm-hmm. They are. And, you know, if people recall, the reason he became senator in the first place is because of the death of our beloved Paul Wellstone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so,
yeah, I'm telling you, it is karma that Al Franken gets this seat.
Yeah, we are all pulling for him, and we really do feel very disenfranchised by this whole situation.
As you should. We have Mark Elias, his Franken's lead attorney, on in about an hour, okay?
Great. I'm going to stay tuned.
All right, honey. Thank you. Yeah, he will give us all the details of the latest, but it's not looking good for Normie. What do you have that you want to play?
Even Sean Hannity has resigned himself to that fact.
Oh. Minnesota judges send Al Franken to the Senate. Now, their ruling makes him the first senator from Saturday Night Live. What a historic moment for the country.
He was snarky about it, but at least he said it looks like Al Franken has won.
I liked our earlier caller suggesting that he be sworn in on a copy of Rush Limbaugh's A Big Fat Idiot.
Yeah.
Sure. Or maybe just put it on top of the Bible or whatever. Okay.
Put it on top of liars and the lying liars who tell them.
Yes, exactly.
Lies and, you know.
All right. The economy yesterday. Ben Bernanke, the Federal Reserve Chair.
To be sure, we will not have a sustainable recovery without a stabilization of our financial system and our credit markets.
Yeah.
Yes. Representative Tom Price, Republican of Georgia. One of these Republicans that suddenly startled by the deficit.
What the American people are saying is that they're tired of the same old thing in Washington, which is spending and borrowing and spending and borrowing.
Yeah, no, they're not.
No.
They're saying
no.
By something in the 70 percentile range that the president has the right idea.
Yeah, Tom Price doesn't seem like he has his finger on the pulse of America.
No. All right. Oh, you know what? That means it's time for some teabagging, everybody. Let's go teabagging. Let's have a revolution.
Teabag your neighbor. Teabag your boss.
Okay.
Teabag your mom.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
All right. It's teabagging day.
Yes.
As you know, tax day, April 15th. And the teabagging brought to you by Fox News, featuring several Fox News personalities, which actually they're just reporting on the grassroots internet phenomenon. Brought to you by Fox News.
Sponsored by Richard Mellonscave.
And Dick Armey.
Yeah.
You need a Dick Armey for a teabagging.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Marianne Silber, Fox News reporter.
Oh.
This 18th century style grassroots tax revolt has swelled into a modern day movement thanks to the latest technology and the popularity of social networking sites.
Blah, blah, blah.
God, do they realize how ridiculous they have any conscience over there? I mean, they you know, obviously they went to journalism school. Didn't they learn?
Don't you love Bill O'Reilly sussing out the liberal media bias? You know, if you go on the CNN, you don't see one hit on the teabagging. Like, because they're not gonna promote a Fox News promotion,
right?
Okay, Representative Phil Gingrich, Republican of Georgia.
They're mad at Congress. They're mad at politicians.
Mm-hmm.
They feel frustrated that their voice maybe is not getting heard, if it is, that their member. Has his or her hands tied.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like that grassroots rebellion in 2000 where they all protested the carpetbagger.
They're mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore. Brought to you by Fox News.
Yeah, right. Where were all these teabag protests when the Bush administration was shoving through their stimulus package?
Mm-hmm.
For Wall Street. Not even for Main Street. For Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. My future husband, Keith Olbermann. You know, Jim, he seemed to suss out a little partisan bias at the Fox News.
What? Huh?
It seemed to him that it appeared like it might really be a Fox News promotion, this teabagging.
Get ready to tea party!
April 15th, all across the country, citizens are standing up.
Here in D.C., what I'm covering in Lafayette Park, tomorrow morning, 1 million tea bags will be delivered by like 9 a.m.
Illegally.
Fox on Top of Tea Party is full steam ahead.
Americans outraged over unfair and crippling taxes.
How to get involved in the hundreds of Tea Party protests.
Not happy with how the government is spending your tax money and taking from you in tax money? You're not alone.
Angry taxpayers are going online and attending tea parties.
How about you? Would you go to one of these tea parties?
You know, it is unlike anything we've ever seen before, at least in recent history.
Hundreds of thousands of outraged Americans may turn out.
We know of at least 500 cities.
Hundreds of towns and cities.
Hundreds of these tea parties.
Mm. Oh, we're talking about 500 cities tomorrow.
We are tracking 760 cities.
Look at all of them. That's where they're expected to be tomorrow.
No more evidence that they're just getting bigger and bigger.
He's touched a nerve in American
people. At a ground, grassroots level, ground. Are fed up.
I can't even say it right.
The ground dirt.
At the groundswell grassroots level.
Field thing.
They're, ooh, it's going to be like the blob. It's getting bigger and bigger. And okay.
It's so transparent, though.
Paul Krugman, I guess, pointed out, they're protesting. First of all, 95% of Americans are getting a tax cut under Barack Obama. So I guess they refer to the top 1% who will be paying less than they paid under Ronald Reagan, although more than they are now. So I guess there's going to be a rioting in Bel Air and things like that. That's what they're covering. I guess the tea parties.
Good heavens! We have to pay less than we did under Ronald Reagan? Why, that's... Oh, no.
Thurston, are we going to have Amuse Abuse only twice a week now? Dear God.
It is the top 1% that is funding all of the promotion and organizational efforts of these things, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they want to keep their scratch?
Exactly.
Okay. Chris in Seattle on teabagging. Hello, Chris.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm confused. Now, aren't the taxes we pay today George Bush's taxes?
Yes.
Yes.
Except,
so they're protesting.
For the tax cuts.
They're mad as hell and they're not going to take George Bush's tax policies anymore,
so
apparently.
Shouldn't they be protesting next year?
Yes.
Because this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something really doesn't smell right about this.
Yeah.
And it's because it's been organized by these huge right-wing think tanks.
And next year, of course, the economy will probably be doing much better, so there'll be nothing to
Listen,
protest.
This is what the right specializes in now, fake outrage.
Yeah. The Republican Party knew they needed something to coalesce around, and so they manufactured this in order. And, you know, to some extent, it's succeeded for these people. And, you know, more power to them. But
this is what they do now, is they try to make, you know, obviously Barack Obama was indeed really a grassroots.
More power to him. Screw them.
He was a grassroots phenomenon. He was an authentic one that you can't deny.
Absolutely.
That's why he won in a landslide.
Right.
But so then what they do is come up with amazing replicas. Or, oh, look, Michael Steele. We've got a black guy.
We've got a black guy.
Look, Sarah Palin. It's a, we've got a chick.
It's a Hillary.
Here,
she's just like Hillary.
All right. Keith Olbermann, once again, sussing out the Fox News promotions.
Big question will be whether or not the mainstream media will cover it.
The mainstream media is not reporting on them.
Will the mainstream media cover these tea parties? I think they may be forced to.
I've seen the other networks kind of mention them, but in a mocking way.
Yeah, because they don't understand.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Okay, well, people are mad.
A couple of tweets on Twitter. I think this could be the start of a real revolution.
It may end in a revolution.
Taking a stand at the Alamo. Citizens revolt against more taxes.
Sean Hannity is getting 8,000 people in Atlanta.
Sean Hannity is going to be in Hotlanta.
Sean is on the scene with Newt Gingrich, Joe the Plumber,
Rick and Bubba, Mike Huckabee, Neil Bortz, and a special performance by singer John Rich.
John who?
Who? John Rich. He's he's actually... big country singer.
Oh, well, good. That'll make things better.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Today is tax day. Have you teabagged to release your tension? We'll talk about that and much more as we continue. 42 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I'm feeling a bit full of myself this morning.
Are you?
Would you like to know why?
Why?
Tomorrow on the big show, Rosie O'Donnell.
Really?
And Rob Riggle from the Daily Show. Friday, Fran Drescher and Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Check me out.
I think we've been trying to get Rosie O'Donnell on the show for about 4 years now.
Check me out. I couldn't be more impressed with myself.
I know, right?
Oh, totally, right?
I know, right?
Totally. Okay, let's go to Lee, my trucker friend in Tennessee. Hey, Lee, welcome. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on teabagging. Hello, Lee.
Hey. Yes, everybody keeps talking about why wasn't they teabagging when Bush was running at the deficit?
Yes.
Why wasn't anybody teabagging when Reagan changed us from a creditor nation to a debtor nation?
Thank you. You're the smartest trucker in class today. Okay, let's go to Tim in Madison on the Captain Phone Sex Bill O'Reilly. Hi, Tim.
Have we entered the seventh ring of hell?
Why?
Because Bill O'Reilly said something nice about President Obama during the pirate situation. He said all the other right-wing tools could shut up because he did exactly what's right.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know,
I almost crapped my pants.
Oh, thank you, Tim, for that information.
I know. I think I need to go get a pair of Depends.
You know.
About nice about Obama again.
Tim, you know that we've entered the seventh ring of hell. You know why? Because you're from
Madison, Wisconsin, where we expect those people to be communing with Satan up there in the Madison, Wisconsin.
All right.
Oh, of course. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye. He had to go get some fresh chicken blood. Okay, Matthew in Dallas.
Or crap his pants again.
Oh, that was a little too much information. Matthew in Dallas on teabagging. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Mama. I'm not only the official Japanese ambassador of the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm also a very avid video gamer. By the way, Jim, I heard your voice in Mercenaries 2. Awesome job.
Well, thank you. Wow.
Salano, bad boy.
He's a sequel mercenary, not an original.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, he played a crime boss in Venezuela or something. But anyway,
yeah,
the origins of T-Bank. Now, I don't want to say they're coming from here, but they've been made ridiculously popular to my generation from video games, namely Halo or Battlefield, where after you virtually kill someone, you crouch over their virtual...
You do corner. Not! Do
and
you really?
You press a button that causes you to crouch and stand up and crouch and stand up, and it simulates it. That's how it was made popular to me. That's where I learned it. The fact that now I picture all these Republicans doing it to each other just creates this horrible simulation in my mind that I don't want to...
How young are these video games for? Is there like baby's first teabagging? Like what kind of games do they...
How old are you, Matthew?
I'm 19.
No. Oh. He's of age to teabag.
Okay, you're right.
Rated E for everyone.
All right. Joe in Long Beach on teabagging. Hello, Joe.
Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, you know, I think that Paul Krugman had this thing characterized perfectly yesterday when he said that this supposed Tea Party is less grassroots and more AstroTurf.
Yes, exactly. Brought to you by Fox News.
And Stephanie, how appropriate that they are holding this event the day after the Department of Homeland Security said that there are so many right-wingers that are riled up today that you have a better chance of being attacked by a right-wing terrorist than you do by a foreign terrorist.
Yeah, well, I'm just about to get to that, Joe. But, you know, listen to Glenn Beck any night and tell me that he is not inciting a lot of right-wing crazies out there. My future husband, Keith Olbermann, once again, sussing out, Chris, that this grassroots Tea Party thing?
Yes.
Seems kind of like a Fox promotion.
Let's take a look at all the hit shows here at Fox that are going to be covering the tea parties. Neil Cavuto, he's live in Sacramento. Glenn Beck in San Antonio.
Powerful tea party coverage.
Well, I'm going to one. Are you going to be at one of these?
I'm covering one.
When these people are going to the tax tea party, and I've said that there's
congratulations,
the taxes,
by the way.
Well, I'm just attending.
Well, Fox isn't sponsoring any of this stuff. We're just realizing there are a lot of people across the country who are not happy.
There's a big difference between covering something and promoting it.
April 15th, as Tea Parties sweep the nation on Tax Day, we're there with total, fair, and balanced network coverage. Live.
This administration has changed the direction of the economy towards more government and less private enterprise. That's what's happened, and that's what these people are protesting. And there's nothing wrong with that. Mm. It is not a sham, and it is not a fraud. No. It's now my great duty
to
promote the tea parties. Here we go.
we're just covering it.
It's not a fraud. It's not a sham. We created it.
Yes, of course.
We're not promoting it. We're just covering it.
On all of our shows, 24/7.
I sent some Fox and Freaks in the middle of that montage, Chris.
Yeah, Fox and Freaks were represented. They were represented.
We listened to about 20 seconds of that this morning that somebody sent us. That reminds me of Frank Rich's point that we make nothing in this country anymore. Nothing. It's like verbal packing material. It's verbal packing peanuts. It's nothing. It's seriously, do you have that still? What is said in any 20, 30 second minute on Fox and Freaks? There's just, it's word salad. That's what they're good at. It's Sarah Palin's word salad is what that's all about.
All right. Except for Glenn Beck's, exhorting people to violence.
Yes. No, that's, you have to give it to him. That's true. Yeah. That's pretty clearly understood. Let's give the boy a hand. Yes. That's not nothing, Jim. You're right. That is dangerous and crazy, which is entirely, those are your two choices on Fox. Dangerous and crazy or verbal fluff like this. Do we have it? Here it is. Fox and Freaks.
They lived so far away from one of the locations. What they were going to do is they were going to take a tea bag and hang it on their rear view mirror.
You could hang it from your mirror, too, like fuzzy dice.
I don't know how effective it might be. There is some other good news for you today.
You moisten it. It could actually be an air freshener.
Why don't you throw that on your rear view mirror? It's a good look. Oh,
oops. It didn't last long.
That's how effective that protest would be.
Oh, my
God.
That
was a slide whistle.
You will never get that 20 seconds of your life back. And they stole my slide whistle, for God's sakes.
There's no slide whistle in television.
No, that's for radio.
It's this very serious grassroots event that we're promoting with a slide whistle.
With journalists like Glenn Beck. Okay.
Oh, you know what? Greta Van Susteren looks like she's really doing this under protest.
Yeah. You think?
Yeah. You know, she's...
Is her crooked mouth getting more crooked?
Well, no, she's quite liberal. And you can hear it in her voice that she really doesn't want to be going out
but she'll take the money
to cover one of these tea parties. Yeah, but, you know, her employer told her to. So she really has no choice.
Except to quit.
To quit, yes.
Dave in Detroit on teabagging. Hello, Dave.
Hey, just want to make a comment regarding a call to action. Didn't the FCC have a regulation, not that I'm a big fan, regarding calls to action?
The FCC, you're talking about the tea parties?
Yeah, regarding Fox and their running around and doing their gig. I just thought that I used to work in the radio.
Well, I think they're definitely inciting violence, which is why some of the things that Glenn Beck says come awfully close.
Yeah,
but
that's why
the tea parties, I don't know.
No, that's just a Fox News promotion.
That's just hilarious.
Yeah.
That's just mockable.
Yeah, I don't think it's a call to violence.
Paula, he said call to action. I don't know if there's an FCC regulation about that.
No, I mean, they're just doing a promotion. You know, it's like a wacky morning show promotion where, you know.
Paula in New Jersey, and then it's okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
Paula
Steph.
In New Jersey. Hello, Paula.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Mokes.
Have you teabagged yet this morning?
Actually, no, I'm sticking with coffee.
Okay.
Am I the only one to notice that the promo music that Fox News is using for these teabag events sounds like monster truck rally music?
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Well, you know, all of Sean Hannity's show is pretty much a ridiculous Republican talking points over loud rock music.
I mean, it's just ridiculous, and I just can't believe it.
Right.
And a few years ago on Morning Sedition,
uh-huh,
they actually promoted the concept of using teabagging as a protest mechanism with one of their comedy bits.
Wow. Well, yeah, Fox News is a comedy bit. They don't realize that they're doing a comedy bit. All right. Our caller brought this up. This is getting a lot of attention. Homeland Security warns of growing domestic terror threats from the right.
Yeah, yeah.
As if you needed a report to kind of sense this. A Homeland Security analysis being distributed to law enforcement agency warns of a new era of domestic terrorism spawned by the election of the nation's first black president, unemployment, rising poverty, a backlash against illegal immigration, and the return of disgruntled veterans from the nation's war fronts. It was first reported by talk radio host Roger Hedgehog. You know that guy?
Cock.
Pardon me?
Cock.
Oh,
Hedgecock.
Pardon me, Hedgecock.
Yes.
He's the one that fills in for Rush Limbaugh that I just did the panel on the Fairness Doctrine with.
Yes.
He's reporting on that. The report is right-wing extremism, current economic and political climate fueling resurgence in radicalization and recruitment. I'm guessing he's reporting this as some sort of crazy liberal media bias thing.
You mean like made-up story about Timothy McVeigh? That whole thing that he blew up?
Yeah.
Like, that's nuts. What a bunch of liberal claptrap.
Yeah. 57 minutes after the hour, Representative Jared Polis next on the gay murders in Baghdad and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Don't forget tomorrow on the big show, Rosie O'Donnell. And also, wait, I'm forgetting who?
Rob Riggle. The Daily Show.
From The Daily Show.
He's great.
Yes. Also, Al Franken's lead attorney, Mark Elias, on the Celebrity Hotline this hour to update us on former Senator Norm Coleman. And much more. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. You know, killings of gay men are on the rise in Baghdad. If only there was somebody doing something about that. You know, our tax dollars are going into... who is it, Chris?
Representative Jared Polis from the great state of Colorado.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
It is so nice to talk to you.
It's a pleasure to be on the show.
I have to give people the fun fact. You are the first openly gay man elected to the U.S. Congress as a freshman, correct?
That's right.
It's because other people have been elected and then come out later, but you were, which is, I think, is, you know, along with that and a lot of the gay marriage stuff that's happening across the country, I just think is a really great sign.
Well, you know, and my district is not one of these gay mecca districts. We're just kind of a typical suburban district in Colorado, and the issue of my orientation didn't come up much during the campaign. People really wanted somebody that would fight for them on the economy and ending the war. And the
wow.
That's awesome.
About. See, now that is progress. You know, that's the day I look forward to. Not only do we not have to talk about gay marriage anymore, we just have it. And it's not a, you know, it's not the issue that it is now.
Yeah, why do we spend all this time talking about this stuff? It's such a silly thing to talk about when there's real issues out there.
I'll say. That's what I mean. With, the, you know, this economy and crisis, I mean, you can't look at anything that doesn't need to be fixed right now, right? Housing, health care, the economy, you know, auto industry. And yet people are spending time and money on that. It's ridiculous. Sure. But anyway, tell us about... what's going on in Iraq?
Sure. Well, I actually just got back from Iraq last week. Also went to Afghanistan. And in a couple of weeks leading up to my trip, I became aware of a number of charges of violence against gay and lesbian and transgender Iraqis. I actually talked to a couple of gay Iraqis on the phone, both within Iraq and outside of Iraq. And there's been many incidences of mass violence against gays. But even more of more concern is there's some allegations that our offices received and passed along regarding police complicity in some of these charges. Right. Actually, officers of the Department of the Interior arresting and torturing gay people.
Well, that's what you were saying. You're most disturbed by the allegations the Iraqi government itself may be involved in these persecutions. I mean, and you also raise another good point. Americans are spending billions of taxpayer dollars, you know, to support a government that apparently is not respecting human rights.
There's clearly a failure of the duty to protect. There was a cafe in Baghdad that was frequented by gay people, which was attacked, and police officers nearby just turned the other way and didn't stop it. And is it even more concerned? It seems like some of the very police officers who are supposed to protect people are, in fact, some of the persecutors as well.
Well, you point out that CNN and the New York Times have recently reported the increased violence against gay Iraqis, and the Iraqi police have begun a crackdown on homosexuals who, and I thought I read this incorrectly. I don't know. Did you see? I'm sure you saw Milk, the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, and they had a clip of Anita Bryant being interviewed in the 70s, and they asked her, do you think homosexuality should be illegal? And she said, yes. Yes, I do. And you're really like, to wrap your mind around the ridiculousness of that statement and how you would even go about trying to implement that.
But it
reportedly is illegal in Iraq, right?
The Arab world is very conservative, but there's a difference between most of the, you know, moderate Muslim countries like Jordan. You know, it's not popular to be gay. You certainly don't have gay marriage, and you're not even talking about those sorts of things. But gay people don't live in constant fear of life and limb in most of those countries either. You're not going to be killed by the police or targeted simply because you're gay. Another country where that occurs, by the way, is Iran. We, of course, have less sway over Iran, and they have a pretty bad human rights record on a number of issues with their fundamentalist regime. But it's a more concern with Iraq, because we do have a lot of influence there, and they need to start showing that they respect human rights.
Well, you know, the problem is the clerics you talk about. There's these influential clerics that, I mean, that's its own kind of law, I suppose, right? They're urging that they be literally sought out and killed.
You know, when I met with the chairwoman of the Human Rights Committee of the Iraqi Parliament last week, I told her that, you know, human rights is protecting the least popular group among you. Anybody can protect it, the majority groups, the popular groups. They're not the ones being targeted. In Iraq, it means protecting Christians. It means protecting gays. It means protecting atheists. You know, people that are not popular are, in fact, shunned by clerics, by the clergy, by the local culture. And the real test of human rights is how well Iraq stands up for those minority rights.
Congressman Polis, what was your other, you know, just your general impression of how things are going in Iraq when you were over there?
Well, you know, I'm glad that we're underway with our withdrawal of troops. The Iraqi state is taking on more and more of the everyday security functions, really. As we were briefed by generals and members of our military, it was clear that they know and are prepared to get out by 2011, and that effort seems to be underway, which I was pleased to see. And, of course, it's a war that I don't think we should have been involved in the first place, but I think we're at a place now where we're winding it down.
You know, Congressman, I hate to ask you this because you said that you were elected because you weren't defined by being gay, but I must ask you about the gay marriage stuff because I just think it is so, you know, it's so top of mind here. I mean, I just think, were you fairly surprised by this rash lately, you know, between Iowa and Vermont? And I'm just very heartened in a way I haven't been because of Prop 8 out here in California.
Well, it's about time. I mean, gosh, in California, how did you let Iowa beat you?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. We are ashamed of ourselves.
You guys are supposed to be trendsetters, aren't you?
I know. I am embarrassed.
And, you know, I think in Colorado, we had full civil unions on the ballot a couple of years ago. It got 47%. It would probably pass today. It's just a matter of time, and you guys got to stick up for California and not let it come in last here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm eating a lot more corn products in solidarity with Iowa. Congressman Jared Polis, thank you so much for taking time for us. Please come back on.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right.
Have a great day.
You too. There he goes from the great state of Colorado.
Yay. Jared Polis.
Yes, I said it right.
You said Polis.
Listen, I'm a little cattywampus today. You know why.
Why?
It's teabagging day, everybody. Tax day, April 15th. It is teabagging day, and it's a party.
Get ready to tea party. D.C. Teabag the White House. Teabag the fools in D.C.
Read my
teabagging
lips.
No.
1773. The soonest thing ain't my teabag, baby.
Well, there is a lot of love in teabagging, you have to say that.
Glenn Beck and Sean Kennedy. Both are looking forward to an up-close and personal taste of teabagging themselves.
Teabag, oh my God.
My plastic surgeon doesn't want me doing any activity where balls fly at my nose.
Teabagging might just blow up in Fox's face.
Oh God, I'm so sorry. That's never happened to me before. It's just, you're so attractive and it's been a while.
Teabag.
Thank you, Shana.
Oh, that's great.
Are we skirting FCC regulations with this discussion?
I think so, but in a highly entertaining way.
All right.
Rob in Inglewood, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on teabagging. Hello, Rob.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Mooks, jiggles, what's going on?
Thank you.
You know, it's really kind of funny about this whole teabagging thing. I was listening to Bill Press' show earlier this morning, and he was talking about Neil Cavuto, who was talking about, you know, well, Fox News has done covered these type of protests. They covered the Million Man March. Well, I have to break it to Neil that the Million Man March happened in 1995, a whole year before Fox News even went into existence.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that.
Fox News called it.
Chronology. And a lie.
A journalistic
lie. You and your liberal chronology.
Liars. You're meddling in things that are none of your business.
Math is a liberal bias.
Yes. Beth in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Elliot Spitzer. Hello, Beth.
Hello there, Steffi and friends.
Yes.
And Moops. I saw Elliot Spitzer on Morning Joe this morning. You've got to have him on. He speaks clearly and truthfully about what's going on, and he says we're just reinflating the bubble, and we're not investing. The government should be placing an order for low emission vehicles from the auto, our automakers, and giving them money to work on that way, and helping to build the infrastructure for electronic plug-ins and that kind of thing. They're just, all they're doing is giving money, and there's no accountability, and heads should be rolling, and they're not.
Mm. I could do that, but it would take more restraint than I have to not make a hooker joke, I think. That's
No, Steffi.
I know.
Steffi Louise.
Stephanie Louise Miller. Okay.
You can conduct an interview without...
If we call the book him and then we give him a phone sex line to call instead of our numbers.
You have proven you can do interviews without going into the gutter.
Ben in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on teabagging. Hello, Ben.
Hey, I had an idea. Why not, just to shut up all the conservatives once and for all, why don't we just pass an AMMT tax where there, if you make $1 billion, there's a minimum your tax, but there's also a maximum. We set it at, like, say, 60%. So between all your taxes, all your fees, you're capped at 60%. So, yeah, you earn $5 million, but you take at least two or three home. That's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't complain they're taking all your money anymore.
Yeah.
Because,
they will,
you know,
anyway.
They what?
Well, I
yeah, they'll complain anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll complain anyway, but the point is you say, you know, there's a maximum. There is a max.
Yeah.
You can't break the max.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, I think, as I pointed out, Paul Krugman says, I mean, that's what, you know, if you look back at history, these rates are less than they were under Reagan, their hero. Like, it doesn't even make any sense what they're protesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know what the Republican Party needs? Some fresh ideas for 2012. Here's a fresh idea. Newt Gingrich. Can I have my hell to the chief? Why, I think this is a bully idea, Jim, in terms of putting a new face on the Republican Party, frankly. More than a decade after he stepped down as Speaker of the House, actually, he was kind of run out of town on a rail, wasn't
he?
Yeah. Newt Gingrich is back, and seemingly more relevant than ever. He seems to be everywhere these days, headlining an endless circuit of GOP dinners, popping up on TV news shows, authoring yet another best-selling book, acting as a policy guru to out-of-power congressional Republicans. I love this idea. Could the GOP savior be a wonkish, twice-divorced throwback to the fiercely partisan Republican Revolution?
Computer says yes.
Yes, I like that idea.
They're great.
Seriously, if the election were held today, how badly would Barack Obama beat Newt Gingrich?
Yeah. That's all we need is another lobbyist as president. Mm-hmm. That's the last thing we need.
Some are speculating he is laying the groundwork for a White House bid in 2012. Would you like some Newt Gingrich fun facts, just in case all y'alls have forgotten, all you tiny tots out there? Gingrich has a reputation as an angry partisan crusader. That's what you need, someone angrier than John McCain. Good thinking. Who delighted in firebombing Democrats with vicious verbal assaults. He was labeled a hypocrite when it was revealed he was carrying on an extramarital affair with a Capitol Hill aide at the same time he was working to impeach President Bill Clinton for lying about his own infidelity.
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
Best one ever. In those days, his temper was notorious.
Yep.
Oh, good. Another really angry guy with an anger management problem like John McCain. That worked so well the last time. After complaining about the seating arrangement on Air Force One, remember this?
Yeah.
Returning from a state funeral in Israel, Gingrich was famously depicted on the cover of the New York Daily News as a wailing baby in a diaper. And he was blamed for shutting down the entire federal government in a budget dispute.
That's right.
Also another little snit he got into.
And then remember when that woman drove her kids into the lake in the car? Blamed it on hippies.
Liberal hippies.
Yeah. Susan Smith was her name.
Susan Smith.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And
because all liberal hippies killed their children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She was in a very strict religious family. Her father was a priest.
I like these ideas. You know what? Try Sarah Palin again. How about Gingrich Palin?
There you go. Also, Gingrich tends to change religions at the drop of a hat,
right,
too.
Yes.
Which way is the wind blowing? Okay, I'm a Hindu.
I'm Catholic today, yeah.
Frankly, I'm a Zoroastrian. I put the S in Zoroastrian.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour, and next, a story about a dog. Yay, it's time to talk about Bo!
Again?
Who's that boy? Who's the White House puppy? Oh, the puppy's here!
Oh, God, we'll let you do this thing.
Right.
I'll be over here.
Right, we're talking to Al Franken's lawyer after that and stuff, but let me talk about the puppy for a minute. 20 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, I am already having a fantastic time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello, my friends. This is famous pillhead Rush Limbaugh. I just have one thing to say about them letting liberals like Stephanie Miller on the radio.
Who let
get it because we're going to talk about the puppy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. Bo's a good boy. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. But first, on the teabagging, Eric in Chicago writes, Steph, I think the next right-wing parties should, they should wear earmuffs as a symbolic, we don't want to hear it, Mr. President. And, of course, we'd call them muff parties. I think that's a good idea. In our continuing feature, tricking the right wing into having parties that sound dirty.
That's funny!
I'll be glad when this day's over.
Shirley in Phoenix. I'll miss it. Shirley in Phoenix on teabagging. Hi, Shirley.
Teabagging? I am so excited. Let me tell you why. I talked to my son in Jacksonville, Florida. He says, Mom, the tax cuts for the middle class is working. And I'm going, I know. I noticed my husband's checks are a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, everybody in Congress that makes less than $250,000, I bet theirs are working, too. The fact is, it is working. And everybody that's protesting, I wonder if they look at their paychecks, if they have a job. The fact is, it is working, and it feels so good.
Yep, there you go. All right.
Shouldn't people who are at these protests be working?
Yeah.
Thanks.
I mean, it's a weekday for crying out loud.
Yeah, sucking off the taxpayer.
As Charles Grassley would say.
Yes. Jerry in St. Paul on teabagging. Hello, Jerry.
Hi, Steph Mooks. I was doing a little research on. I went to the Boston Tea Party Historical Society webpage, and I found the two ships involved with the original Tea Party were the Dartmouth and the Beaver.
Oh.
Beaver and teabag
nice
in the same
beaver.
Story.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Let's go teabagging on the Beaver.
It writes itself.
You're not really going to be sad. I'm glad when today's over. Okay, let's talk about the puppy. That's Bo. Did you see Bo? Oh, he was romping around the White House lawn. But he better not get any inflated ideas about his sleeping arrangements. Barack Obama said, not in my bed. No, he can't. He's a Portuguese water dog. And little Sasha said to reporters, he doesn't know how to swim, though. See, because you'd think that he would know how to. The girls
being
grinned.
A water dog and all.
Yes, the girls grinned.
Apparently,
he does know how to shoot pirates, though. The girls grinned as they played with Bo. He wagged his tail as each of the Obamas bent down to pet him. Plainly pleased, the president said, he's a star. He's got star quality. He's a superstar. He didn't say that last part.
It's a dog.
Each family member is going to have to help out, Obama said. We all have to take turns walking the dog. Except when he does it, it's going to cost the taxpayer a bundle because he'll be like a, motorcade.
Phalanx
and the
Secret Service.
Yeah, and Secret Service and SWAT teams and stuff. The president had a word of warning for the first lady. He said he had heard the breed likes tomatoes, so Michelle's garden is in danger. Bo likes tomatoes! Bo's a vegetarian! Who's a good boy? Okay. Later, the dog whisperer has some advice for the president on the...
Cesar Milan?
Yes.
Yep. Wow. See. Okay.
So I'll get back to the puppy. I'm not done with the puppy. But we will talk to Mark Elias, Senator Al Franken's lead attorney, on the latest on that whole situation as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Everybody has to pay taxes. Even businessmen that rob and steal and cheat from people every day. Even they have to pay taxes.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jim, I have a guest quote for you for the theme today. Who said enough is enough? It's time for Norm Coleman to concede and for Al Franken to be sworn in as the next U.S. Senator from Minnesota. The voters of Minnesota months ago elected Al Franken to the Senate, and during every step in the legal process, that judgment has been confirmed. Who said that?
Carl Sagan.
No.
Wow. Spectacularly wrong.
Tim Kaine, the chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Jim, there's a theme today. Who said Norm Coleman's own legal challenge resulted in more votes for Al Franken, and now a three-judge panel has ruled Al Franken the winner? Former Senator Coleman's insistence on continuing his quixotic quest for the seat at best shows that he's putting his own political ambition ahead of the people, and worse, that he is complicit in an effort by the National Republicans to deny Al Franken the seat for as long as possible, so there's one less Democratic vote for President Obama's agenda for change. Who said that?
Johannes Kepler.
Wildly incorrect. Once again, Tim Kaine, the chairman of the... Oh, there was some expert of some sort that could tell us when this... What? Who is it, Chris?
Lead Franken attorney Mark Elias.
He's the lead. We don't want any of those bit player, Mark. We want the lead. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
You must be feeling somewhat giddy this morning.
I am in a very good mood. Last time we talked, we were in the middle of trial, and we were cautiously optimistic that things were going to go our way. And not only did they go our way, but we actually gained votes in a lawsuit brought by Norm Coleman.
Yeah, that's what, you know, one of our listeners said that if Norm Coleman keeps suing, Al's going to win in the landslide. So, you know, just take us through this legally, because, to us lay people, this has been over for a long time. But tell us where we're at legally.
Well, you know, we had an election in November. Then the state of Minnesota had a meticulous hand recount of all 2.9 million ballots cast. And at the end of that, Al Franken was up 49 votes. Now, along the way, both sides realized that there were some people who had voted absentee, a very small number, but some of them who had voted absentee who had had their ballots rejected improperly by accident or by mistake by the counties. Most of the ballots the counties rejected, they rejected because the person had already voted or because they weren't registered to vote. But there were some people that had their ballots improperly rejected. And the state Supreme Court ordered the counties to go back and look at those again, and that added another 176 votes to our total. So we won the election by 225 votes, and that was certified by the state canvassing board in January. Mm-hmm. Norm Coleman then sued, saying, oh, no, I think there are actually more ballots that the counties didn't find, even though they've now looked at them at least twice. We think there may be more, so we're gonna sue, and we're going to have a court look at this. So they brought a lawsuit. They brought in witnesses and 21 feet of paper, the court said in their opinion. They considered hundreds of witnesses, and at the end of that, the court said, you know what, you're right, there are a very small number, 351 more ballots that should have been considered, and when those were opened and counted, Al Franken's lead jumped to 312 votes. Now we're waiting to see whether former Senator Coleman decides to appeal that decision to the state Supreme Court or whether he doesn't.
Well, let me read you one analysis of this this ruling. It says, a reasonable tone and tenor. This is a careful, unanimous opinion by a tripartisan three-judge court. It makes findings of fact and conclusions of law that at first appear reasonable and conservative. The opinion considers the major arguments made by Coleman and rejects them in a detailed and measured way. It is that kind of opinion that's unlikely to be disturbed on appeal by either the Minnesota Supreme Court or United States Supreme Court. I assume you agree.
I do agree. I think it was a very well-reasoned and thoughtful opinion by the three-judge panel. If they choose to go to the state Supreme Court, we'll be ready to argue it there. But I think that this court's opinion will stand.
You know, somebody was speculating today from Minneapolis, Mark, that Norm Coleman probably has got to know in his heart, if he wants to preserve his political future, he needs to bow out gracefully. But the problem is, you probably have a lot of Republicans pressuring him just to leave the seat open as long as possible. You know, they're not thinking about what's best for Minnesota or the United States, but what's best for the Republican Party.
Well, you know, look, Norm Coleman has to look at this and weigh a number of things. He has to weigh, obviously, what he thinks his chances of prevailing are, what other political considerations may be before him. But the bottom line is, whatever he decides to do, this court took 7 weeks, let the former senator's lawyers put on as many witnesses as they want, introduce all of the evidence they want, make all the legal arguments they wanted, and the result was that we not only prevailed but increased our lead.
Well, you know, I've honestly, Mark, I've heard legal experts on both sides say for quite some time this legally is just hopeless. I mean, that's what Tim Kaine called it yesterday. He said, you know, he has a right to continue legal challenges no matter how hopeless they are. But, you know, clearly the right thing to do is concede.
That's right. And just because he has the right to appeal doesn't mean appealing is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the right thing to do for the people of Minnesota who have now been without representation in the United States Senate for the last several months.
So it's interesting, though, Kaine's view right now, not shared by Harry Reid, I mean, who apparently, you know, says, oh, he's entitled to, you know, take this to the next level. But it sounds like Harry Reid kind of knows this is going to be rejected, so he's trying to sort of, I don't know, hold out an olive branch, right, that if he loses on the state level that... Hopefully he'll concede.
Look, the state Supreme Court has ruled, whether one side agrees with it or other side or neither side, the state Supreme Court ruled earlier this year that the certificate of election must issue once the state court proceedings are final, and those proceedings are not final until the state Supreme Court rules if there's an appeal, but at that point they are final. So
I see. So if he goes and appeals, and he, like I say, pretty much any legal expert says he's not going to win, so then Al could be seated, correct? And then,
correct.
Right.
At that point, Governor.
And then
Blaine,
he can still go on to the Supreme Court, but Al will already be seated, and obviously it's probably not going to win there either.
Right. And let's remember, when you say go on to the U.S. Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court is not an appeal of right, what's called an appeal of right. It is a discretionary appeal, so they have to agree to take the case to hear it. They get petitions for thousands of cases a year. They take very, very few of them. And just to give you some perspective on this, in the last 30, 40, 50 years, there have really only been two cases that the Supreme Court has taken that have involved post-election disputes, one of them obviously being Bush v. Gore in 2000, and another one, the last one before that, you had to go back to late 70s, early 80s. So it's very, very infrequent that they consider these kinds of cases because they're not the typical kind of case that the Supreme Court would hear.
Well, and it might be the shortest ruling ever written by the Supreme Court. It would just simply say, oh, Norm, please. Run along now. I know that obviously you can't know what's, you don't have a crystal ball, but what is your take on what you think is going to happen? Is he going to concede now? Is he going to the state? Is he going all the way to the Supreme Court? What do you think is going to happen?
Look, I take him and his lawyers at their word. If they say he's going to appeal, I assume he's going to appeal. So we will be prepared to brief and argue that appeal on as quick a time frame as the Supreme Court will hear it. The state Supreme Court really deserves a lot of credit for the quick and timely fashion in which they have handled the last the few cases that came up during the course of the recount. They were very, very expeditious in their consideration and deciding those, and we'll be prepared to move forward on that kind of timetable.
Mm-hmm. Did you have the same amount of glee in your heart when you heard the dejection in Sean Hannity's voice last night?
Minnesota judges sent Al Franken to the Senate. Now their ruling makes him the first senator from Saturday Night Live. What a historic moment for the country.
I have to say, until just now, I didn't hear Sean Hannity's voice. I have to admit, I don't
right.
often watch his show.
But that was the first time he actually said Senator Al Franken. Yeah. Al Franken's going to the Senate, so I think even he's conceded.
And as you know, we look forward to the explosion of Bill O'Reilly's head soon.
I am proud to stand before you as the next senator from Minnesota.
Thing sucks.
You're invited to my house. We'll have popcorn. And here's a suggestion from a listener, by the way, from Minnesota, is that he would like Al to be sworn in on a copy of Rush Limbaugh's A Big Fat Idiot. Just to poke the right with another sharp stick.
Well, I'm sure Bill O'Reilly is not happy with the way things turned out. But ultimately, it's the people of Minnesota who get to decide who their senators are, not anyone else.
Mark, thanks for fighting the good fight, and thanks for keeping us updated. Give Senator Franken a kiss for me.
I will do that I'll shake his hand.
In a manly way. Yeah. In a manly way. All right. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
All right. There he goes. Mark Elias.
You flustered him.
I used to give Al kisses in a sleazy way when we worked together here in the Progressive Radio. But now that he's a senator, I'm going to have to be show a little more
decorum.
Class with a C, actually.
Class with a K.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 42 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on North Korea and what the dog whisperer told the president as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. George in Gary, Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on teabagging.
Hello,
George.
Mama.
Hello.
Hello, Mooks.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to first thank you for having the only show where there's a national dialogue daily on teabagging and beavers.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I have a suggestion, though. Since 95% of us are getting a tax cut under this new Obama stimulus plan, that means that the people at these so-called grassroots revolts are the top 5%, which means they're also probably carrying a lot of loose change in cash. Why don't we have a call to arms for all panhandlers around the country to just swoop down on these folks and start asking for money? Absolutely. They, you know, panhandling is up like 22% thanks to the Bush economy.
Yeah.
Let's give them something to do.
Yeah, exactly. All right, George. By the way, Lynn writes, she watched the Fox News this morning for some giggles.
Uh-huh.
Just now they had some guy reporting from Love's Park in a cold, windy Philadelphia rain, predicting thousands of teabaggers within 2 hours, while the camera pointed to one lonely canopy tent and two student types wearing backpacks. Not another soul to be seen. Oh, dear. Me fears that Fox News may have to green screen some people into the crowd scene.
Why is no one else covering this? It's a huge... It's a... oh, boy.
That's funny. Okay. By the by, speaking of our friends at the Fox News, mm-hmm. Apparently Rahm Emanuel told Britt Baer, who took over for Hume, that he was doing a great job since replacing Britt Hume. Well, who wouldn't do a great job? You couldn't understand what the hell Britt Hume was saying. If you get words out, you're doing better than Britt Hume. Emanuel told Baer the White House watches his show every night. Baer said, oh, come on. And he said, we sometimes have the volume down, but we watch it every night.
Huh. Well, you know, you got to know what your opposition is up to. So that's very, very smart.
Not listeners to the Stephanie Miller newscast, because we watch so you don't have to. We will regurgitate
that's
it to
true.
You lovingly, you know, like mama birds.
That was one of the problems with the Bush White House, is that they only watched Fox News.
Yes.
They didn't see what, you know, other people were saying.
Exactly. All right. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton talking about the North Korean situation.
We are viewing this as an unnecessary response to the legitimate statement put out of concern by the Security Council. And obviously we hope that there will be an opportunity to discuss this not only with our partners and allies, but also eventually with the North Koreans.
Ha! It is too rare. Oh, necessary. Registration. With the, I don't even know what you're talking about.
North Korea has walked out of the six-party talks in a huff.
Six-party talk.
Yeah.
And if that's not soon enough, we're even an hour and a half. Ha!
Robert Gibbs, White House.
I'm a
Marxist.
We call North Korea to cease its provocative threats, to respect the will of the international community, and to honor its international commitments and obligations.
Hey, you want to see provocative? You ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, no.
Sean Hannity, this is a little joke about the Obama non-bow to the Saudi Arabian leader.
North Korea continues to defy the international community as it threatens to withdraw from the six-party disarmament talks. Well, maybe we can send the president, you know, to take care of all this. He can bow down to Kim Jong-il.
Yeah. They're still covering that night after night on Fox
News. I have
News.
Some advice for dear leader. I would not dress like a pirate this Halloween. I'm just saying. See how I melded those two stories.
Call the pirate die for me. I don't know all the words.
Jeff in Myrtle Beach on teabagging. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, I was just checking out the local teabaggers, and
yes.
They are actually in the park where the homeless people hang out. And there's actually more homeless people than there are teabaggers.
Oh, bless their hearts.
But the Fox Wardrobe Department is going to have to be called in to clean them up and make them look like teabaggers. Kevin in Reno on teabagging. Happy Tax Day, Kevin.
Thank you, Stephanie. And major kudos to Jim. He's amazing with his voiceover. I mean, his impression.
Ain't he something?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I just want to, my point is that I think it's funny how the quote-unquote Republican leadership underestimates the intelligence of their following as far as the Democrats have a true female leader in Hillary, so they drop Sarah. The Democrats elect Barack, and then they get Michael Steele, who's, I think, a male version of Sarah, just a true dolt. And that they don't think that their following can see through this teabag thing, that it's a, you know, a smokescreen to say, hey, we basically got nothing, so let's put on a skit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right.
Just a little skit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, the dog whisperer has told President Obama he must be a pack leader. Listen, he can take out three pirates with three shots. I think he can handle a friggin' six-month-old Portuguese water dog.
Why did someone ask the dog whisperer his opinion?
I don't know, but he has some words of advice.
Oh, okay.
For the leader of the free world. When I watch President Obama speak, it's clear that calm, assertive energy is something that comes naturally to him. But often men and women who are leaders in the workplace don't apply this pack leader frame of mind with their dogs. That's how problems develop. Exhibit A?
Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
Yes,
you are. The most ill-trained dogs in the world.
Yes, you certainly do.
Good. That's a good point, Maggie. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Oh, you pooped in the dining room again.
Good boy.
There's some behaviors you don't want to reinforce.
Yeah, and that's one of them, Stephanie.
Any behavior is cute to me. This is mommy's boy.
Okay. Yeah, until you pad downstairs in your bare feet and step in one. In the morning.
Sploosh. Okay. No, he does not go inside. He just doesn't really understand spatial relations. And
whatever.
He licked the cheese last night. I had a friend over, and he came up right up to the hors d'oeuvres out, and he just came up and went, plah, well, right in front of her. I was like, oh.
I've done that at your house.
Well, you praise Jesus every day.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm almost certain that this is National Grilled Cheese Month, by the way.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yes, happy Grilled Cheese Month.
And yes. To you, too.
If you're lactose intolerant, we're sorry.
Yes.
The Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board has some ideas for the plastic-looking cheese fans. Kraft Foods has launched a site where people can submit 50-word testimonials to Kraft Singles for a chance to win coupons. On April 25th, there's a grilled cheese invitational happening here in Los Angeles. That is yours.
I'm there. Oh, my God.
We should send you to do a live report.
Do you know what's really good is if you make grilled cheese not out of those Kraft Singles, but if you make it out of Velveeta. Oh, my God.
Okay.
You know, it's fake cheese, but...
I understand.
Yeah.
It's a cheese-like substance.
Oh, but God, is it so good.
Okay. Oh. Can I have some more puppy music, please? A little more about the puppy before we go. Oh, Chris, are you getting as much mail as I am? From rescue people, from dog breeder people, from... Oy vey. Question still in the national... this is like getting the most hits of anything, any story ever that's going
on. This dog was not a rescue. I don't know what you're talking
about. Is Bo a rescue dog or not?
No.
I'm letting him slide under.
No, you're... not. Why?
Listen, I've rescued... You know what I'm... Like,
have
for
the
instance,
courage of your convictions.
Chester, my St. Bernard, my dearly departed St. Bernard.
Yes.
He was a rescue, technically, but it was neighbors that rescued the mother, and then the mother was pregnant. So that's a rescue, right? But he didn't come from a rescue or a shelter. Just saying. Okay.
So she was a single mother.
She was a slut, yes.
Okay.
By the way, the dog that I just helped save from the park near my house that someone abandoned?
Yes.
Turns out she might be pregnant.
Oh.
And here's a fun fact I did learn. They can do dog abortions. Who knew?
Wait a minute. You still have this dog?
No, I found a...
Okay.
Yes.
Oh.
Anyway, but I rescued her from the park, and it turns out I think she's knocked up.
As are many people you find wandering around the park.
Yeah.
Listen, I can't rescue every slut from the park. Is Bo a rescue dog or not? Did President Obama keep or break a campaign promise in picking a purebred as a family's new pet? The Obamas repeatedly said they wanted to be a rescue dog from a shelter. Their search was complicated by Malia's allergies,
yes.
Which is true. Bo was slightly used. Bo went to another family where it didn't work out, so...
It's a consignment dog.
It's a pawn shop puppy.
Yeah.
Yes, all right.
Okay. It does seem awfully energetic from what I've seen on TV.
But we still don't know why it was wearing a rainbow lei.
Because of the Hawaii thing.
Maybe from Hawaii.
Because
it's the Hawaiian
Obama's
connection.
Hawaii.
Yes.
I thought it was a gay dog.
57.
That's the kind of thing you'd see at the white party.
57 minutes after the hour. That's it for us today. We'll be back with more on Puppygate tomorrow. And don't forget Rosie O'Donnell and...
Rob Riggle from The Daily Show tomorrow.
Oh, big show, big show, big show. Yay. Don't miss it. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.